What we're going to look at tonight, what we looked at last Sunday evening, what John has been writing about to these early Christians. John was concerned that many of them would fall back into their old ways, fall back into the ways of Judaism, and because false teachers had crept into the assembly of the church, John wanted to make sure that as he is writing that they understood that he talks about the assurance of their salvation. Last Sunday evening, we looked at the acquisition, or the Sunday before, at the acquisition, how we acquire salvation and the assurance of salvation. And that song Chelsea sang a few moments ago certainly talked about being washed in the blood of Jesus and receiving his wonderful mercy and receiving his wonderful gift of grace. Tonight, I want us to look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13 as we look at some of the true birthmarks of the believer. In 1 John chapter 5, John says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is also in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." You see, tonight as we look at what are some of the true birthmarks of a Christian, first of all, there has to be a spiritual conversion. There has to be a spiritual conversion. I mentioned this morning, you and I cannot do anything to get to heaven on our own. We are not worthy of that. We do not merit that. We cannot work for it. We cannot buy it. It comes only through faith in Jesus Christ and through his shed blood for the remission of our sins and reaching out and receiving this wonderful, wonderful gift of grace. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, Scripture tells us, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him." There has to be a spiritual conversion. Let me ask you a question tonight as you think about this passage of Scripture. Can you go back to that time? Can you go back to that place in your life? David and me were talking, and David, you know, he thought he had received Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. But he shared with me that this past week he realized that he needed Jesus. And conviction comes when the Holy Spirit of God moves into the heart and brings a person to the place where they realize that the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us are sinners, and there's no way we can save ourselves. And so when the Holy Spirit moves upon our heart, we can either reject that or we can accept that wonderful gift of grace. The Holy Spirit brings conviction on our heart to let us know that we realize that we have sinned. All have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I love that hymn, Ken, that we sing that verse that says, "I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away, blessed be the name of the Lord." Can you go back tonight in your mind? Do you remember where you were when that happened? Do you remember that place when the Holy Spirit moved upon your heart and brought you to a place of conviction, and that conviction led you to a place of repentance, and that repentance led you to a place of conversion where you reached out by faith and received Christ into your heart and into your life? I've told this before, but I always go back to March the 24th, 1963. It was a Sunday night. The little Loco Baptist Church out Loco, and my pastor was gone that night. I was, I think, 12 years old. I can remember on that particular night, Selm Scantlin was preaching in the absence of my pastor. I remember sitting on the second seat on the right-hand side of the sanctuary. I remember that invitation well. As we sang that night, and as I moved out into the aisle and walked down and gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I remember the time, I remember the place, I remember the day, I remember it as if it were yesterday when the Holy Spirit moved upon my heart and life, and I reached out and received the wonderful gift of God's cleansing through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a spiritual conversion. That's one of the birthmarks. If we were looking at twins, and there are lots of identical twins in the world, and sometimes it is hard to tell one from the other. But sometimes there will be some defining, mark that will distinguish between which one is which. Well, I want you to know, just as sometimes there may be a birthmark, there are so-called birthmarks within our Christian walk. And there has to be a spiritual conversion. You see, the Bible says when Jesus comes, one of these days, there will be those that said, Lord, we did this in your name and we did that in your name. And the saddest words on earth will be the ones Jesus said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I wonder tonight, in a world that you and I live in right now, some 7.5 billion people in the world, not to mention all of the other millions and billions that have died since the beginning of time. But I wonder how many people tonight think that they're okay. That's one of the reasons that I always say, be sure that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you've been born again. One man came to Jesus, John, in chapter 3. The song says he was afraid, so afraid. Master, you're from God, I really do believe. And Jesus said, be born again. Let me tell you, there has to be a spiritual conversion if you are a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, there has to be a spiritual change. There has to be a spiritual change. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Scripture says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, Jesus, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There are lots of people today that are mistaken. There are lots of people today that are on the wrong road that leads to heaven. There are a lot of people today that are being duped by Satan. They're being duped by false teachings to say that there are many ways to get to heaven. But if you believe that this is the inspired, the inerrant Word of God, if you believe this is the standard by which you and I are led into all truth through the Holy Spirit's leading us, guiding us, teaching us, then you have to know when Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. A spiritual change. Let me tell you, when somebody receives Jesus, there ought to be a spiritual change. In fact, in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. There should be a spiritual change. When people look at you, when people look at me, do they see one of the birthmarks of a Christian? Do they see a spiritual change in our life? Do they see something in us that they desire to have? Because there should be a spiritual change. In 1 John 2, verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. 1 John 3, 6 through 10, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now let me tell you what that means. Does that mean that as a Christian, that you and I will never ever sin again in our life? No, it doesn't, because we know that we sin. We either sin through commission, sins that we know are sins, or we sin through omissions of things we know that we should do that we don't do. But what does it mean then that we don't sin? Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, lives in my heart, immediately when you and I do something that is against God's commandments, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And let me tell you, you will either ask forgiveness for those things so that you can restore your fellowship with Jesus, not your relationship. If you've been born again, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, but your fellowship can be destroyed. And until you get it right, let me tell you, you will not be happy with yourself. Let me tell you, if a person can go out and just live any way they want to live and not be convicted by that, let me tell you, they've never been born again. They don't have the birthmarks of a Christian, because there has to be a spiritual change. Let me tell you, if you and I sin, and we do have come to the place where we've received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you, if you are born again and you do not get that sin right with Jesus, he will chasten you and me because he loves us and he will not let that pass. Now, that chastening may not come expeditiously. It may be somewhere down the road. But let me tell you, if you're born again, then you know. What you need to do. This morning when I preached on forgiveness, let me tell you, every person that sat here this morning, every person that was listening this morning knows what Jesus said. You know, the preacher didn't say it. Jesus is the one that said it. And Jesus says, if you want to be right with him, you have to make it right. Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in your heart and my heart, as soon as we've done something wrong, spoken a wrong word, said something critical to someone, said something ugly to someone, gossiped about someone maliciously, or a hundred of other things that we may have done, if the Holy Spirit doesn't bring conviction in your heart, you better check out your salvation experience. Because old things, according to Paul, to the church at Corinth, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 17. We're not going to read that tonight, but Paul was writing to the church there, to the Colossians, and he shared the importance of these things that we're looking at tonight. Let me tell you, if you are a true believer, if you've really been born again, you really can go back to a time, you can go back to a place. I remember the time, I remember the place, I remember the day. Now, there may be some other details. You may not remember who was preaching that night. You may not remember who it was necessarily that was the pastor that time if you were a kid growing up. But you can go back to that place in your mind where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt something happened, something changed in your life. There needs to be a spiritual change. One of the things that I see lacking in our church is when people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we don't have enough people out there volunteering to be a disciple to them. We don't have enough people that'll say, I'll step up and mentor this person. I'll help this person. Or someone who would say, you know, I'll start a class for new believers to nurture them and to help them for the next 6 or 8 or 10 weeks. You see, there are lots of people that slip through cracks in churches because we don't have people who will volunteer to step up to the plate and say, I will do that. And then on the other hand, on the other side of that coin is the fact that some will say, I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I remember we started that at one time. We tried that, and it didn't take off like it ought to take off. But you see, you and I ought to be concerned tonight about people that get saved. We ought to be concerned when we look around in church and we don't see them here, especially new believers in Christ, and to check on them and to see where they are and let them know that we've missed them and we want to nurture them and we want to help grow them. We want to help mature them. Let me tell you, one of the birthmarks of being born again, first of all, is a spiritual conversion. You've got to be born again. And secondly, in that spiritual conversion, there should be a spiritual change. The old passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And yet there will be those that will say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did all of these religious duties in your name. I mean, doesn't that entitle me to go to heaven someday? And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. To me, those are the saddest of all the words in all the Bible. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Another birthmark, I believe, of a true believer is a spiritual charity, a spiritual love. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. There again, that hate, that unforgiveness that we talked about this morning. He who loves his brother, who is my brother, it's anybody that I come in contact with, isn't it? It's my neighbor, who is my neighbor, whoever I come in contact. He who loves his brother abides in the light. That's your spiritual brother. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let me tell you what, in every true born-again child of God, in every true believer, ought to be this spiritual charity. There ought to be this spiritual love. You ought to want to get together with God's wonderful people, amen? Amen? We ought to want to come together. We ought to want to fellowship together. We ought to love each other. Why? Because Christ first loved us. He's the one who came looking for us, seeking for me. there ought to be a spiritual love. We ought to want to come together. We ought to enjoy being with God's people. There ought to be a love among God's people. One of the big things I love to see in our services is when we have fellowship time. I love people. Now, I realize there are some that probably don't want to do that. I realize there are some that are afraid to shake somebody's hand. I get it. I learned that many years ago. But let me tell you, when we all get to heaven, what are we going to do? Are we going to distance ourselves from each other? Now, I know we're going to be changed, so we're not going to be like we are now, thank God. But I want you to know while we are down here, we ought to let people know whose side we're on, amen? People ought to know that we love them and that ought to be a spiritual birthmark, that we love the brethren and want to meet with the brethren. Let me tell you, we sing that song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Let me tell you, when we come together, we ought to love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Let me tell you, we need to be joyful. We need to be excited. We need to be enthusiastic. We need to exude love to people. I believe that one of the birthmarks of a true born-again child of God is a spiritual love. God is love. Paul said to the church at Corinth, and now abides faith. We know what that is. Hope. We know what hope is. Paul said, and love. But the greatest of those three is love. Let me ask you a question. Do you love? Love is the theme. Love is supreme. Sweeter it grows, the more he bestows. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Down through the years, I have known many people who profess to be Christians. I know many people who went to church regularly. They were regular attenders. But they would not speak to each other because of some mishap, some fallout that happened through the years. I've often thought about that, especially with that sermon this morning. Matthew chapter 5 there. Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus spoke about forgiveness. I've often wondered, God, can you really do that? Can you really claim that you're okay and then not love your brother, not love your sister? Well, according to Jesus, you can't do that. So it's time the church of the Lord Jesus Christ get things right with each other. Amen? Let me tell you, folks, don't let there be darkness in your heart. Satan loves the darkness. Let me tell you, when there's light and when you're right in the right fellowship with the Lord and vertically, your relationship is with him. You've had that personal relationship. You've had that spiritual conversion in your life. You've had that spiritual change. Let me tell you, you'll look around at the world that you live in and see others, and you will see them differently than maybe you saw them before you ever received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I really believe that it is the devil and one of his schemes, which is, the word for schemes is a blueprint. He has the blueprint for each of us to know what it is that gets our goat. I believe that one of the birthmarks of a true believer is not only, first of all, a spiritual conversion. Secondly of all, there's got to be a spiritual change. Thirdly, a spiritual love. A love for the brethren. And lastly, there has to be a spiritual companion. Look in 1 John chapter 4:13. John said, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Let me ask you a question. If you are a true born-again child of God, the Holy Spirit has sealed you until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. Does it bother you? Does it bother you when you've hurt someone's feelings? When you've said an unkind thing to them? Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit lives in here, it ought to. If it doesn't, you better check out your salvation experience. Because one of the birthmarks of a Christian is you have a spiritual companion who lives within your heart, and that spiritual companion is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said to those disciples, "I'm going away," they didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say. They didn't get it. He had been walking with them, talking with them, performing miracles, casting out demons, teaching the people, challenging the false religious leaders and turning them on edge. And they had been with Jesus for 3 years and they just assumed everything would be as it had always been. But Jesus gathered around them that night of his Last Supper with them and told them that they wouldn't be doing that again until they do it in the new kingdom to come one of these days. Jesus gathered them and said, let them know that he was going away, but he wasn't going to leave them comfortless. He would send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the one who encourages, the one who leads us into all truth. He will be with us. That's why Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am a present help in your time of trouble. Back in the Old Testament, it was under a different command, a covenant. It was under the old law based on condition. God said to the nation of Israel, you do this, 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 and this, and I will bless you. And if you don't do this, this, and this, then God would bring in those rogue nations out there among them to bring them to a place where they would go back to God. But the Holy Spirit in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit moved at various times and in various ways. That's why when the Holy Spirit left Saul and David had committed his adulterous and murderous act and tried to hide that from God for the next almost year, and Scripture says his bones waxed within him. He was not happy. He knew that he was wronged. Let me tell you, David later, when he repented of that, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He realized there came a point in Saul's life where God withdrew that spirit from Saul. Let me tell you, aren't you grateful that you live on this side of Calvary? Aren't you grateful that you live on the side where the Holy Spirit never leaves you? That the Holy Spirit indwells you, and the Holy Spirit is the earnest, it's the seal that you belong to the Lord until the day of redemption. Let me tell you, if you really are a genuine born-again believer, there ought to be some birthmarks. And number one is a spiritual conversion. Number two is a spiritual change. Number three is a spiritual charity, love for the brethren. And number four, you have evidence that you have the spiritual companionship of the Holy Spirit that resides within your heart. How do you know when you're right? How do you know when you're wrong? The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit that will quicken your heart when you know that you're wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that will let you listen to somebody out there and determine, is this person speaking truth or not? Because the Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit is there and never leaves us. And the Holy Spirit will lead us in the right direction. And the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Do you have a spiritual conversion in your life? One of these days, when time is no more, and Jesus looks and he separates the sheep from the goats, and there will be those that think, that believe. You may say, well, Pastor, do you really think they really think they're saved? Do you really believe that they? I think many of them do. I think they're duped by the schemes of the devil. I think there's a lot of people that think they're okay, but they don't have the birthmarks of a true born-again child of God. Would you stand as we pray together?